Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we brought you the clips of the month for July, which you voted on.
Yeah.
We'll bring you that and the winner, of course. We had a chat with Gary Bloom, sports psychotherapist, about the fact that so many high-profile sports people feel comfortable discussing their mental health and how that has changed in his time working in all different sorts of sports as a psychotherapist. We were joined by actor Jason Salke, who told us how a big popular TV drama of the 90s was shaped by a kickabout that he instigated. And various bits and pieces. We had a bit of a chat.
Andy's
phone wasn't
Olympic
working.
Stuff.
Now it is. Spoiler alert. But here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. And I'm particularly annoyed about my phone because I've got a new Olympic ringtone that I wanted you to ring on air.
Now, let's set the scene. Ever since I came in about an hour and a half ago, Andy, I've just lost Andy. He's got to get his focus back because somehow, in the only way that your old granddad can, he has pressed the number, he's put his phone in his pocket. When he's taken it out, he's permanently locked. I don't know how you do that. You don't put a phone in a pocket, take it out, and it's permanently locked.
I don't know either.
We've brought in the experts. We brought in people a third of his age to look at it, and even they can't. We thought it had been cracked by our very own Emma, but it hasn't been.
No, it's to do with the talk back. It's to do with the thing where you have to, every time you press the button on the phone, it tells you what you're pressing. It's so annoying. You can't get rid of it. And you have to press, and I can't get into settings because I can't unlock it. So the whole thing's a disaster. Anyway, my new Olympic ringtone.
Somewhere out there is the answer, Andy. I want you completely focused. So I want that phone fixed before 4 o'clock. So it's a Samsung Galaxy, isn't it, of some note? It's
the latest.
It's the very latest. It's cutting edge, kids. If you can tell Andy what he needs to do, and we'll hand it to someone a third of his age to actually do it. I'm not going to have him pressing the buttons on his phone and using the language he normally uses on air. We will not be doing it on air because it's rather fruity. But if you can solve Andy's problem, Samsung, I mean, they know everything, the kids.
Yeah, but it's all online about what to do. We've done all that.
But anyway,
Emma's taking it to a phone shop to see if there's
is she really?
Yeah, geek that can sort it. Anyway, my new Olympic ringtone.
Somebody with a beard.
It says...
She's a producer of excellent documentaries on this station. She finds herself walking the street for some sort of phone geek.
It says, and Jacobs is the Olympic champion. It's marvellous ringtone. Great day for the family. We're all delighted.
How do you feel about that? I didn't know about your Italian origin. It's marvellous.
Very much, absolutely.
It was
very upset for the British guy. It was unlucky that it was... You know, he was in the final. I think he would have got a medal. He was in the right position.
Yeah.
You know, and then he said he cramped up and...
I mean, it's the ultimate... I mean, it is in sport.
It's so harsh.
It's so unforgiving. They used to be... you used to get a second chance with a full start.
I think you should get a second chance. It seemed to me incredibly harsh, but I don't know. I think sport has finally taken leave of its... It's gone mad completely. Mm. The high jump. I've never seen anything. I don't get it. I don't get all these people going, oh, it's marvellous, isn't it? I mean, like you said, you know, Chiellini and Harry Kane, they might as well have agreed to share the European Championships because it was 1-1 after extra
time. I'm guessing Chiellini would have said no had Harry Kane said, well,
should
we just
share it? I just don't get how you can have this in the Olympic Games. You have to have a winner. You can't have two gold medals. It's rubbish there. I just think there's something wrong with that. And the people are going, oh, isn't that nice? Isn't that lovely? No, it's completely wrong.
I just like to point out that the whole of today's show will be the prism, through the prism of his phone not working. So you may get sort of slightly harder line views than you would do normally.
Yeah, like, but talking
of
that.
It was odd. It was quite odd. Talking of
makes no sense. Talking of odd, talking of trenchant views. Mm. Yes, I see that Brooklyn Beckham is in talks with YouTube.
Oh, he's turning the barrel now. Well,
it is.
Yeah, okay.
Well, it's ridiculous. He's in talks with YouTube and Facebook about an online cookery show.
Yeah.
He's not even a chef. I mean, he's got no training, because I can see. He's got no training, but he can make a bacon sandwich on Instagram.
Yeah.
He's honestly, you know, if his name was Brooklyn Jones or something, then no one would go anywhere near him. It's completely ridiculous, honestly.
Now, I want to get the listeners in on this one, because we learn in the Telegraph today, via a podcast, a shrine was mistakenly erected to TV presenter Gabby Logan at a school she didn't go to after Wikipedia falsely claimed she did.
Yeah.
The Olympics presenter, says the Telegraph, has explained how a Wikipedia page says she went to the Bishop Ullathorne School in Coventry when she never did. As a result, the school built a shrine. Hello?
A shrine, not a plaque?
And asked her to do prize givings one year. She had to be honest and say, I never actually went to the school. But the idea that you discover that Gabby went to your school, I mean, as you say, a plaque or just a little nod in the next school newsletter, a shrine.
Well, you know,
candles, rich
she
effigies.
She is very good.
Effigies of Gabby, which is all a bit strange, isn't it? But the reason I ask the question is, what have people got wrong about you? Maybe, I don't know, you meet somebody for the first time and said, Dave, this is Chris. Chris won the Olympic Winter Olympic gold medal for the downhill slalom in 1987. You're thinking, that wasn't me. So what did people get wrong about you? Are you ever in a situation where people got things hopelessly wrong about you, as they did there with Gabby?
My Wikipedia page, which said my dad invented the Muppets.
Well, you wouldn't be sitting here if he did.
Exactly.
TalkSport, young, you'd have someone personally in your house all the time fixing your phone. Just you'd give him 100 grand a year on the off chance you couldn't get into it. Yeah, your Kermit phone. You know what your ringtone would be, wouldn't it? Mana, mana. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH and J. What did people get wrong about you? Let us know this afternoon. So, any quick one?
Yeah, there's going to be a turkey shortage apparently at Christmas.
Oh,
fears for a turkey
shortage.
They've
gone early, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. Won't be.
Why will there be a turkey shortage? And what's
Is it the weather or something? Some reason. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
They grow on trees.
Oh,
they?
Because of a staffing crisis at the farms, you know. But, you know, it's a long time to go yet.
Yeah.
There won't be a sprout shortage either.
Okay, well, some good news today.
They have gone very early for that one, I must say.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
As we've seen in recent weeks with Ben Stokes and Simone Biles, today Tyrone Mings admitting that his mental health was affected in the build-up to the start of the Euros. Adam Peaty saying he's going to take a psychological timeout once the Olympics are over to get his head together again. A lot more big-name sports stars more than happy to talk about their struggles with their mental health. Gary Bloom is a sports psychotherapist, and he joins us now. Good afternoon, Gary.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Good to speak to you again.
As always, it's, as we were saying earlier on, I mean, so many of these conversations you would have had sort of off the record with sports stars, because they probably would have said to you over the years, I don't really want people to know that's why I'm taking a break. Can't we have a convenient hamstring or something? But the convenient hamstring seems to have gone.
Yeah, it has for the time being. And isn't it interesting? It all comes in what has been a very busy summer of sport. I think we have to put the COVID lenses on and see how that has affected people, affected their training regimes, affected their personal relationships, a chance to be with their mums and dads and families. So I think there's a degree of that there, to be honest. But I think what comes up for me, it highlights the difference between sports psychology, which has been around for many, many years, and sports psychotherapy, which is, you know, the personal lives of these individuals are now coming to the fore and under the microscope. And it's quite clearly that these individual athletes are not happy. And my mantra as a psychotherapist is quite clear: happier players play better. You know, psychology is all about performance and has historically been about performance, which is measured by data and speeds and that kind of thing. But this is a very different discipline. And the sadness for me is that there are very few people like myself working in sport. I think I am the only sports psychotherapist working in professional football in the UK.
Don't most people suffer from mental issues in their life, if they're being really honest. And I know it's changed. I know it's better to talk about it. It's better to admit it. I understand that. But is there any benefit in sort of trying to fight through it, or is it a good idea to take a time out?
Well, I'd ask you the same question. If you think mental health is different from physical health, I'd ask you the question, why? You know, none of us have perfect physical health when you get to a certain age. So you have to look after that part of your body. If I go digging the garden on a Sunday, my back's probably going to be sore the next day, and therefore I'm going to probably rest it. So we all have a relationship with our mental health. And I'd say to anybody listening to this radio broadcast, are you looking after your mental health? Are you doing things that are good for you? And then when I say that, I'm talking about diet and exercise and making sure that you have leisure time and that there's downtime, that your office closes. Those are good ways of making sure that your mental health stays good.
It's interesting. Adam Peaty went out of his way to say he wanted to take a break for the sake of his mental health. He could have just said, I need to take a break. That's what people used to say. Obviously, it's quite intense competition. Yeah. I need a break. But he's gone out of his way to make that point, because I think maybe he wants other people to feel comfortable saying the same sort of thing.
Look, sport, I feel, is the last bastion of being able to put your hand up and say, I don't know what I'm doing, I'm struggling, I'm not playing well. Because there's all this sense that vulnerability is just not good enough. And, you know, you hear other critics in social media say, well, man up and just get through it. You know, these people are human like you and I. And when we all go through tough times, bereavements, loss of jobs, not feeling great, physical health issues, we need help at that stage. For our physical health, we'd go to our GPs. There's nothing wrong in going to a therapist to get you through tough areas of your life, no matter what that has been brought on by. You know, life events do happen. And the idea that we can tough those out, in my opinion, just makes it worse.
Mm. Have you found then that more managers, coaches, etc., are inviting you in to work with players? And have you found, in the time you've been a sports psychotherapist, that more and more players come and seek your help and feel more comfortable doing that?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, not only professional, but amateur players as well. Players wanting to break into teams, people wanting to ignite their careers. There is still a huge problem with football clubs inviting people like myself into the building. It is seen as a bit of a taboo. Do you know, it was really, really interesting to watch Ted Lasso. I don't know if you've been watching Ted Lasso.
Yes, I saw that,
in a new series, they bring in a sports psychologist. But actually, the job that she is doing is not a psychologist. She's doing the job as a psychotherapist, looking after key relationships inside football clubs. This is brand new. There's only one football club that I know who are doing it, and I work for them. Mm. Working on the relationships inside a football club will, in my belief, lead to improved performances. Football clubs and cricket clubs and rugby clubs are very nervous about this. Interesting that it's actually been dealt with in a fictional TV program. In real life, it's much, much harder.
Yeah, yeah, the manager feels threatened within that context. Yeah, I know it's fiction,
correct.
But, you know, he does. I mean, in his own way of showing it, not aggressively, but the character feels threatened by the other person because he feels like that should be his job. And is that what you find at clubs sometimes with managers?
Yeah, I make no secret of the fact that I work for Oxford United. I'm allowed to access all areas. And it's actually Ted Lasso says, what, access all areas? Yeah, go for it. But you can see his nervousness around it. Mm. Well, I can't think of many football clubs where the managers of that club would be confident enough to say to somebody like me, go where you want, find out what you want. I don't have to know that information as long as I trust you to make sure that the football club is a better place for you being in it than without it.
Performance anxiety, Gary, can be crippling, and then we all talk about pressure and the pressure of this and the pressure of sport. Have we sort of lost the idea that sport is fun, that it's just a game? I heard a cricket commentator, she was asked...
Your phone is working again, I hear.
It is, yeah. She was, beg your pardon about
it's
that.
Back, his phone's back.
She was asked about the pressure, and she just said, in the end, I'm enjoying it. It's a game. And I thought there's a lot to that. I think we kind of make such a thing of the pressure that we lose that sort of childlike thing that we had for sport in the first place.
And do you know what? This is a real, real problem, Andy, for young people. When the work I do in the academies and people aged about 13 to 16, they come to me and their mums and dads come to me and say, my son and my daughter are just not enjoying it anymore. What do we do? Mm. Well, the truth is, when anything is not fun, you're not going to do it to the best of your ability. Look, if you're an elite athlete, performance anxiety and pressure is part of the deal. But it doesn't suit everybody, just like being a radio presenter doesn't suit everybody. Everybody has their particular skills. And sometimes people get very far down that path of being an elite sportsman or woman, and they eventually realise this is not for them. And I think this is a good example of, you know, what's going on at the Olympics, that maybe when you look at Simone Biles and what she's had to endure over the last few years and the scandals that involved the US gymnastics coaches, that eventually somebody just might say, I don't want to do this anymore. It's just not worth it. My mental health's worth more than this.
Yeah, no, you can see it with her, definitely.
Gary, good to talk to you as always. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Gary. Very interesting.
Thanks for having me on the show. Thank you, guys.
Gary Bloom, their sports psychotherapist.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Well, you remember in the early 90s, the fine series Sharps Rifles. Sean Bean, of course, was the figurehead.
Well, I always thought it was just called Sharp. I don't know why.
We'll come on to that in a few moments' time. Now, one of the actors from the series, Jason Salke, has written a kind of behind-the-scenes book, or the literal war stories from making the series. A big football fan, big talk sport listener. A Chelsea fan, he's in his resplendent in his vintage.
Bit of Clive Walker, I see there.
There's a bit of Clive Walker. Is that you going with a hairline as well? Are you on Jason? It's a bit harsh.
I like Ray Wilkins.
Wilkins would do as well. Yeah.
Jason, lovely to see you.
Lovely to see you too.
Thanks so much for coming in. It's because it sounds like quite a glamorous. You think, oh, marvellous, going off making a TV series on location. But I suppose it depends where that location was. And as a crew, you went through it a bit. Because you were shooting in the Crimea, which was, I mean, it's a very contentious area now, but it was then in the 90s, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was the time when the Soviet Union disintegrated. So Ukraine was finding its own feet. And possibly, you know, the central government in Kiev weren't as nice to the Crimea. So things a little bit backwards. It was very hot there. We were totally unprepared. You know, remember in the 70s, they said, don't drink the water when you go to Spain. Well, they didn't tell us that in the Crimea, and they should have.
Right.
Because that led to some big tummy rumbles.
Right, so yeah, everybody was getting ill on it. I love the fact that football played a part in the fact that Sean Bean got the lead role in the first place, didn't it? And it was your fault.
Yes. I mean, you know, to borrow a phrase from Stuart Pearce, it was not glamourable at all. Life on Sharp. Well, okay, so first week is the opening week of the Premiership, 1992. Got shortwave radio, all happy with Paul McGann's telling us, yeah, boom, boom.
So he was going to be Sharp, Paul McGann.
Yes, he was Sharp.
Yeah.
He was cast as Sharp.
Mm.
Sean Bean had been rejected for Sharp. So we filmed for 5 days. First Saturday, we listened to the Premiership. Brian Dean scored. How prophetic, eh? Sheffield Wednesday.
Sheffield United.
Forgive me, Beano, if you're listening.
Yeah.
So on the Sunday, it was our day off. We go to the beach. I bring a football with us. There's no shade, so we thought we might as well go in footy. Found a little car park. Crew versus cast. The exec producer was on the other side. Paul McGann, midfield general, sees a ball coming out of the air. It's very sunny. Goes up to take it down like an expert, and his standing leg gives way.
Oh, no.
We thought, what's wrong? Nothing wrong at all. He goes sit by the side. At the end of the match, we discover he's done his cruciate ligament. We didn't know that because there's no MRIs, no X-rays, etc. But it was pretty terrible because his face was ashen. They got him back. They strapped his leg up and said, go on, get back to work.
Wow.
Injured it twice more. After the third one, he said, listen, guys, I'm going home to check it out. And they said, OK. The producers called force majeure on the project. We thought it was all over. We packed our bags, went home, disconsolate. My agent called 4 days later. Sean Bean is sharp.
Wow.
So had it not been for my football match,
yeah,
Sean may not.
He owes you quite a sizable drink, doesn't he?
He does. Well, he's bought me a few drinks in the past, so we'll let him off.
Well, what made you write the book? I mean,
right. My father is a writer, so I always felt I should get something down, but I'm too lazy, of course. My character was not a Bernard Cornwell character.
All right.
Bernard Cornwell wrote the book Sharp. Mm. That's why it's called Sharp. And you're right, it's called Sharp, but people call it Sharp's Rifles. My character was based on a real rifleman called Rifleman Harris, who wasn't learned, but recalled his stories and someone else wrote them down. I read that book when I got the part.
Okay.
And I thought, hello, why don't I be the Harris of the Sharp TV show?
Mm.
I had no idea what I was going to be facing. I thought, oh, yes, the glamorous life, and we had champagne and caviar, and it was wonderful. But no, I mean, it was the stuff I had to document was just mind-blowing.
So many good actors went through. I mean, Daniel Craig had a part, didn't he?
Yes.
Elizabeth Hurley, you talk about in the book as well. Different people came in and joined the cast during the run.
Absolutely. Dan Craig, no one recognises because he has this horrible sort of brown wig. It's one of his first jobs.
Oh.
In fact, he was responsible for re-injuring Paul's knee the second time. I mean, yeah, not. I mean, the director told him to do it, of course. But that the second injury was a fight between Berry, his character, and Sharp during Charles Eagle. Yeah, yeah. And the third one was an innocuous climbing through a gorse bush that twisted. That's how bad his knee was. It was ready to pop at any time.
I mean, there were good things that came out of it from your point of view. You met your partner. There was a baby born while you were making the series. So, I mean, there's some good positive things come out of the experience.
Absolutely. My wife, Natasha, was an interpreter on the show. And after a few years, we were more and more together. And she became pregnant on the show. And luckily, our son was born between the breaks. And he was the second Sharp-generated child, but the first one born in wedlock.
Oh,
and there are 12 Sharp marriages that I can remember that we know of so far.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how many, just remind us, how many series did it run for?
It ran for 5 series from 1993 to 97, and then they came back to do a couple of ones in India.
Right.
But you were telling us that it affected your career, didn't it, being in it?
Well, you know, an actor's career, you never know, right? It could have happened anyway. Mm. But, you know, I thought, I'm in this big show, everyone knows me, I'm going to get auditions, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, things happen. There's no rhyme or reason in the acting world. I'm almost getting more publicity now for this than anything then.
Yeah,
but you know, the acting game can be like that. I was warned by many famous actors, listen, Jason, this can be over in a second for no good reason.
Yeah.
So that could be what happened.
Yeah. As we said, you're a big Chelsea fan. Mm. Why Chelsea? Was it sort of family?
My auntie Paula, actually. Hi, Paula.
Right.
She was a big fan and she got me... She got me into 26 years of hurt from 1971 until 1997, and I thank her for it. But yeah, that's how I got started. All my mates in school, my primary school and secondary school, in fact, at primary school, now this is true, although I don't know how it was possible, when Chelsea were bringing the Cup Winners' Cup back, they drove along Kensington Church Street, and me and my mate Alex Salmon, we ran down to the corner and waved to the bus.
All right.
So I've got those old memories and memories of taking to the first time to the bridge. It was a night match. And it's that whole thing of walking up and seeing the green of the pitch and the lights on the pitch. Mm. It is the most intoxicating view ever.
Mm.
So all those kind of things. And bought, you know, season tickets for many years now.
Oh.
It's improved since 2003. So
it certainly has a little bit, yes, thanks to a certain person.
I wonder if it's ever, I mean, what, the ground or the football or the situation?
Oh, the whole
thing. It certainly has. I wonder if they're ever going to come back and look at the stadium again, because he had grand plans for it, didn't he? But I suppose it just depends.
I was on the train the other day and we were going past Battersea Power Station, I think. What a shame that he didn't get it. Because the last thing, that whole area of Battersea needs is another load of flats. There's so much flats development. And the plan, have you ever seen the plans for it? It was absolutely incredible.
What are they going to do to that? I wonder if the residents of Battersea would rather have had flats than a football stadium.
Well, I don't know. I think it would have it was amazing. And I think it would have lifted the whole area, but he lost out.
You know what I thought, though? There's that little area at Earl's Court where they knocked down Earl's Court and now they're not doing anything with it anymore.
That was also a possibility.
Yes, I thought that would be the natural place. Yeah.
But, you know, you can't expect the bloke to spend like 2 billion quid or whatever it would cost and
when he
can't even come into the stadium. He's not going to do that, is he? Let's be honest.
Well, you think he might because it's a badge of honour, isn't it? It's something...
You'd want to be able to come here, though.
I know. I don't want to get too political and talk sport. But anyway.
Now, just finally, Jason, the show is still available to watch. It pops up on the Drama Channel. You said it's still available for people to download as all the box sets on the streaming services as well. So do you ever revisit it? You go back and watch them now and again?
Yes. I do tune into Drama Channel once in a while. And when I was reading the book, I had to refer to episodes. And in the last year, I've been doing podcasts with lots of actors. So I did have to look at the episodes. But yeah, I do like Sharp because I love Bernard Cornwell's work. Mm. You know.
Book's doing well, you were telling us, isn't it?
Book's doing well. It's available on Waterstones, Amazon, all good retailers. Signed copy from me if you want to get in touch. But yes, it is doing. I don't know what figures are. It's been published by Unbound. I know you know about Unbound because you've had a couple of things. Mm. So apparently you don't get paid twice a year. So I have no idea until September what the sales will be.
So riflemanharris.co.uk.
Yes.
People can go along there and find out more about the book and the story. And so he has got a huge kind of following. It was a very popular series. So, well, lovely to see you, Jason. We wish you well with the book.
Wish you well with that.
Thank you.
Go and check it out. It is available on Unbound. riflemanharris.co.uk. From Crimea with Love, Misadventures in the Making of Sharp's Rifles by Jason Selke. And you say Bernard Cornwell's written a forward for him.
Yes, absolutely.
Lovely.
And I'm hoping that Chelsea can find a striker. They can score so many goals.
That's what we need. That's what we need. Thank you, Jason.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We mentioned earlier on that Gabby Logan, there's a shrine of her at a local school in Coventry where it was felt that she actually attended, Gabby was on a podcast recently and pointed out she'd never actually gone to the school, but so that I think they've taken the shrine down. So I just think things people got wrong about you. Is there stuff out there that, you know, maybe you're introduced in an odd way, said, no, that wasn't me. So is there stuff people have got wrong about you over the years? Andy said, a friend I've known for several years asked me if there was any truth in the rumour that I dated Rachel Weisz because someone had told him we'd been an item. Sadly, I have never dated Rachel Weisz. Well, your loss was Daniel Craig's game then, clearly, Andy. So there we are. That's yes. So anyway, let us know. Is anything things people have got wrong about you? Talksport.com/H&J and text to 81089 or tweet to TSH&J.
Remember, I was telling you on Friday that the new Peruvian president is famous for wearing a white hat.
Oh, yeah, you were telling us that.
We were saying, what were you known for? Which we didn't get much of a response to, which is unsurprising. Hmm. Anyway, there's a picture of him on the weekend, and I noted he was, again, wearing his white hat.
Well, it's
obviously his big selling point.
It's a trademark thing. Well, as a politician, it's always useful to have something that, that people can remember you for, I guess.
Well, I might get one, I think.
As part of Tyrone Ming's piece he did a big piece in The Sun today, talking about his mental health, talking about a lot of things, talking about the Euros, but they did a quick fire Q&A and they asked him several questions, one of which was red wine or beer. He said red wine, Tina Nello. So I looked it up. And I thought, I wonder if it's sensibly priced. The average one could be 100 quid a bottle. So when Tyrone has a glass of red, he makes sure it's a good one.
Well, he should do, really. Yeah.
It sounds very nice. It was a kind of big wine of the 1970s, and the vintage bottle would go for thousands.
It was quite a sad thing, that, because you didn't think of, you don't think of it like that, because in a way, people did want Maguire to be fit, and they did worry about him, and you don't think that will translate to the player, but of course it did.
Well, because, you know, every pundit, even he said that Rio Ferdinand reached out to him after the, I think during the tournament, said, you know, you stepped up, you did brilliantly. But Rio and a lot of other pundits were saying it's a weakness for us, that area of the defence. I mean, there's two ways.
He's a very
some
good
players,
player.
Some players feed off of that. Some players feed off of, I'll show you. Others it gets to. And he admitted that it got to him a little bit. But, you know, he put in some good performances. It didn't affect him on the field, which was great. Anything else?
Delia Smith, chairman of Norwich. I think she's still chairman. She says, not chairman, obviously. She says, aliens don't exist.
Okay.
Well, what, at least it's not...
In relation to her role at Norwich?
In her new book.
I suppose it would be. Existence of aliens. Where are you, it would be called, wouldn't it? Where are you, Lesby Avenue? And then maybe that would be the call to arms. Yeah. That would be like the Close Encounters call. That brings all the aliens in. I've got no idea.
Somebody wrote to the Star and said, there's so much rubbish on TV, I've bought a radio. Best thing I've done in years.
Well done. What a great move.
Welcome.
Congratulations. Although I don't listen to those idiots on Talksport in the afternoon.
I tell you what, I was reading... Ivan Clarkson's a funny bloke, and I know it's all tongue-in-cheek, but you do get... I sort of call it sort of... It's a kind of damaging ignorance about sport. Morgan does it, he's done it, and it's sort of quite a sort of trendy thing to do, is to sort of devalue the Olympics. And I just... it annoys me because it's the ignorance, you know. This idea, again, I think Parry was on a TV this morning talking about the fact that if you don't win a gold, it doesn't mean anything. It's such nonsense. It's such a poor thing to say. Such a poor,
so what,
such
second a, is nowhere, is that
well, it's just not
saying?
An understanding of what the Olympics is. It's not the same as football. It's not the same as that. You know, it's a different thing altogether, as we saw yesterday with the high jumping.
Well, we're going to have a chat with Dalton Grant later on, the former Team GB high jumper, see what he made of that decision yesterday. And what was a great competition share gold. I know it's not gone down well with you, Andy.
Really.
Not gone down well with everybody.
It's a shame, isn't it? You see this woman in the Sun today... made a big fuss. She's got a micro pig, and she spent £200 on a party. Oh no, £2,000 on providing the pig with a bedroom, which is a bit of an odd thing to do. And she gave it a £200 birthday party, and she takes it for a walk on a lead.
Does she?
Why don't you just get a dog?
Isn't a micro pig?
Well, I think it used to be. I don't know. It's looking quite big now.
Okay.
It's on the big side.
It eats.
Just looks like a pig to me.
It eats well.
Well, fair enough, really.
We asked you, I think people have got wrong about you in the Gabby Shrine situation, as Glenn's already calling it.
Yeah.
A lot of people at secondary school in Cartmel thought my name was Tarquin. This was due to my younger brother, Bob, starting a rumour that spread alarmingly fast.
Oh, no.
My name is Martin. I would like to make this very clear. All right, Tark. Don't labour it, mate. We know what your real name is. So what did people get wrong about you? Talksport.com/H&J. You can text to 81089. Or you can tweet to TSHNJ, that's TSHANDJ.
All those years ago, you were the one to coin the phrase, a waste of ink, when we used to look at the tabloid letters.
Yes.
And then one of the people that always used to write, back in the day, I'm talking like 20 years ago, was Sylvia Monk.
Sylvia Monk, yeah.
She's still writing to the Sun with the same letter. She got 50 quid for this. My congratulations to Boris Johnson and his wife, Carrie, on her pregnancy. It's that same letter that she's been writing for 20 years.
50 quid you've
that's
ever made.
Rubbish, isn't
well
it?
Done, Sylvia. She's probably a multi-millionaire off the back of all the letters that she sends to national newspapers.
And nobody else pays any attention to the racing tipster ads in the Star by Alex Gorry, the man in the know.
Oh,
but
honestly, you do, Andy.
Well, I do, because he's had the same advert now for, I don't know, months.
What's he saying?
14 winning months in a row.
Lump on Nijinsky is definitely going to do it. I'm sure that's not true. Alex knows his stuff. He's got a very lucrative business there. Yeah,
he can't have had 14 winning months in a row. Can't keep shifting over. It's either it was 14 winning months in a row back in, say, February. Now, presumably, it's 18 winning months in a row or 19 winning months in a row. Change the advert. It's driving me mad.
Okay, well, look, as I said, it's probably not bothering anybody else, Andy.
It doesn't bother anybody
no
else.
No mad rush to do that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We're going to ask you to vote for your clips of the month for July now. As always, it'll be decided on Twitter at TSHNJ, TSHANDJ. Once you've heard these clips, I have two semi-finals, then a final, and we'll play you the winning clip just before 4 o'clock when Andy Townsend is here with Adrian Durham. So we'll kick off with our very own Laura Woods on Breakfast, looking ahead to the England-Germany game during the Euros.
I'm nervous. I don't know what it... Maybe it's like excited nerves. You know when you're playing hide and seek and you need a wee? Like, it feels like that. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Darren Bent doesn't remember playing hide and seek and needing a wee.
No.
Clearly.
And of course, during the Euros, with so many listeners trying to have their say, not every call to Andy Goldstein and Jason Cundy on the Sports Bar was particularly smooth.
David is a Man United fan. He's up next. Hi, David.
Hi, Dave.
David?
Yeah.
Hello, Dave. Hello, Dave.
Hello.
Dave. Hello. Talk sport to Dave.
Hello. Yep, I'm here.
Okay.
Hello.
Yep. Off you go, Dave.
Hello.
Oh, for God's sakes, man.
Hi. I mean,
Dave, have you ever had a conversation on the telephone before?
I have. Okay. I have many years ago.
Yeah, the technology's moved on since the days of the phone, clearly. Here's Mark Saggers with an in-depth question for Jose Mourinho.
I remember Jose Mourinho that at times on these very big occasions that you used to just make yourself known to the opposition. I remember one classic game at Anfield when you eventually beat them there that you just sort of showed, and it sort of helped calm some of your side as they were going through the routine here as well. And that sort of flexibility of a coach at this stage of a tournament can be important just to show how much belief he has in his own side.
Can you repeat that? I didn't get you.
It's never the quick questions, is it? Isn't he repeating? Always the long ones.
Oh, did he repeat it? That's the thing.
Yes.
Let's go back to the calls now on Sports Bar.
Thanks for your call. Let's go to Chris, as a Preston fan, is up next. Hello, Chris.
Hi.
Nice. Hi. Classy. And sticking with the callers, it was great to hear Jabba the Hutt ring in this month.
The rest of the staff staying on. And two, what's the brief, do you think, in terms of the man that they're looking for?
Jabba.
Somebody got a tiger in his house or something. Ridiculous, isn't it? Yeah. A lion. Strange that. Yes, and finally, it's Jim White.
Jim White, yeah.
Bryson DeChambeau should have kept his big trap shut and accepted that it was his performance rather than the club. Or stand by what he said.
Yeah, exactly. It is a different day. It's my birthday.
Yeah, it's my birthday. And of course, that did remind us of something.
Go, 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 Charlie.
It's my birthday.
We gon' party late.
It's my birthday.
We gon' sip Bacardi late.
It's my birthday.
Find me in the club, bottle full of bub.
So there we are, Jim White and Fiddy together at last. So what was your favourite? Was it Laura playing hide and seek, needing a wee? Was it Dave who'd never used the phone before? Was it Sags and his long question to Jose? Was it Burpee caller Chris? Was it Jabba the Hutt ringing in? Or was it Jim in the club? So let us know this afternoon. Go to @TSHNJ, TSHANDJ. There'll be two semi-finals you can vote on. Vote for your favourite in those. Then we'll let you know the result. You'll have your finalists, and then we'll play the winning clip once again for you just before 4 o'clock.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Just before we go, we bring you the winner of the clips of the month. 63% of you voted for Dave, the caller to the Sports Bar.
David is a Man United fan. He's up next. Hi, David.
Hi, Dave.
David?
Yeah.
Hello,
yeah,
Dave.
Hello.
Dave.
Hello,
Dave.
Hello.
Dave, talk sport to Dave.
Hello. Yep, I'm here.
Okay.
Hello.
Yep, off you go, Dave.
Hello.
Oh, for God's sakes, man.
Hi. I mean...
Dave, have you ever had a conversation on the telephone before?
I have. Okay. I have many years ago.
Many years ago. Like Lionel Richie at one point, wasn't it? Okay, that's it. Thanks for everybody who voted.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. Myself and Max Rushton are live from Nottingham Forest tomorrow in the build-up to the EFL. You'll be back Thursday, won't you, Andy?
Thursday, yeah.
For the...
going to get working on it.
For the birthday spread and then Friday in the studio. So if you can, join me and Max from 1 tomorrow, great. If not, podcasts like this one will be available at around 5.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary.
not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.